WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the show. We're happy to welcome Josh Planos, Washington Post contributor, back. We're going to talk, of course, about the NBA. Cameron Payne in the Oklahoma City Thunder pulling off a huge upset win last night in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. And we're going to talk with Josh about the suddenly really good Thunder that can get it done late in games. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes when we join Josh. Yesterday on the show, we just received the information about Murray State no longer sponsoring the sport of men's tennis effective immediately. We read the statements. You can check yesterday's show. Those were read in their entirety. It's also on our WNBS Facebook page. But we've now had a statement by Mel Purcell, the head coach, and he calls it sad for men's tennis because of the history and tradition at Murray State. He said he was looking forward to the new challenges that are ahead, and he's excited about helping out with the women's team and the development of the athletics department. He added that he's a racer, and he'll be there to help out when they need him. He says, quote, "I'm just sad for my team. I thought we had a good enough team to make a run these next few years, but we will move on and win some championships with the women's team." At this point, no actual defined role, to my knowledge, has been given for Mel, but it appears he will stay on. Mel is a treasure to have in the athletic department. And again, I understand it's a sad day. I hate seeing any program go. What that means is there's fewer young people with opportunities to play, and that's the part that is, to me, is hurtful as anything. Good to see that Mel is, at least if he wants, is able to stay on in some capacity, because he is certainly a treasure, as his father was, for Murray State Athletics. Let's see. Murray State Baseball tonight. They have their huge OVC series looming this weekend, but anyone has to admit it's good to beat the big school in the state, and they'll have an opportunity to do that tonight when Murray and UK play at Brooks Stadium. Now, they're going to have to battle through some raindrops, although it doesn't look like we're in for any torrential downpours or anything. This is something that if they have the stadium tarped or the field tarped, they probably will be able to get it in, but it may not be the nicest of nights. Last time these teams played at Brooks Stadium, Murray State defeated UK 4-3 in 12 innings, and it's the first trip to Brooks for Murray State since that time. Racers 2-1 this past weekend. UK, meanwhile, swept by Ole Miss. Second time these teams have met. UK already owns a win over Murray State, beating them in March 11-1 in Lexington. The matchup, if you look at the numbers, certainly favors Kentucky. The Racers sending lefty Jack Rannick against the Cats lefty Zach Logue. Rannick is 3-4 with a 6.49 ERA. Logue 2-1 with a 3.0 earned run average. Again, the first pitch set for tonight at 6. A change in the standings overnight without anybody playing a game. The first place Austin Peay baseball team is now the second place Austin Peay baseball team. They had to vacate 4 wins due to the use of an ineligible player under OVC bylaw 11-4-1. No idea what that is. Austin Peay's OVC record will change from 21-9 to 17-9, while its overall record on the season goes from 31-18 to 27-18. With the vacation of games, the statistics and individual records from the contest will still count. They will not remove those. And Austin Peay's opponents from the vacated games will not see any change in their team's record. Those will not change at all. High school baseball from yesterday. McCracken County down in Callaway County 8-1. Ballard Memorial a 9-3 win over Hickman County. Graves beat Fulton City 8-2. Marshall a 14-4 win over Mayfield in 5 innings. Tillman beat Massac County 14-10. Trigg over UHA 3-1. Caldwell beat Livingston Central 6-2. Lyon County a 10-0 win over Dawson Springs in softball. Carlisle County defeated Callaway County 8-2. Annabeth Carter hit a solo homer for the Lakers, and Callaway's Lakin Kelso took the loss despite picking up 9 strikeouts. The Lakers now 12-18. In other softball, it was Ballard 8, Graves 7 in 8 innings. Crittenden County a 7-1 winner over Tillman. McCracken County blanked Henderson County 10-0. Webster County 7, Trigg County 3, Dawson Springs 14, Christian Fellowship 4. Massac County, a 9-3 winner over Livingston Central. Caldwell County defeated Todd Central 3-1. Lyon County over Union County 1-0. Today in baseball, Hickman County playing at Murray High. And in softball, it is Callaway County playing at Livingston Central. Our congratulations again going to the Murray High girls winning 14 of 18 events and the Murray High boys winning 9 of 18 events at last Saturday's Region 1 Class A Championships. Murray certainly will be teams to beat when they head to the state competition. The St. Louis Cardinals will return to action tonight against the Colorado Rockies. We'll have the game on the air. It is a 7:15 first pitch, and we're on the air with it at 6:20 on WNBS. Minnesota Timberwolves center Karl Anthony Towns is the NBA's Rookie of the Year. The 20-year-old Kentucky product received all 130 first-place votes from a panel of sports writers and broadcasters. Anthony Wiggins won the honor last year, making Minnesota the first team with back-to-back winners in 42 years. Officials with the Tennessee Titans have waived one of their quarterbacks. Zach Mettenberger was waived yesterday after being drafted by the Titans in 2014. Three other players we're also waived. To stay tuned, we'll chat with Josh Splenos right after this.
Tuesday, May 17th, the Murray State Racers welcome the Kentucky Wildcats to Brooks Stadium in Paducah for the annual Purchase Area Showdown. The Racers boast one of the most powerful lineups in college baseball, ranking in the top 10 in 8 statistical categories. Kentucky comes in nationally ranked and one of the top teams in the always tough SEC. It's Murray State versus Kentucky at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, May 17th at Brooks Stadium in Paducah. Tickets are on sale now at the Murray State Ticket Office or call 270-809-3000.
We are back. As promised, Josh Splenos is joining us. A little bit to catch up on last Tuesday when we weren't able to visit with Josh. He had written an article concerning the Oklahoma City Thunder needing to get more out of Russell Westbrook. And at that point, I guess, when the article came out, we weren't really even sure we would still be talking about Oklahoma City. And today in the NBA, that is all we're talking about, Josh. What a one-week turnaround. I'm going to give you 100% credit in that article. Obviously, Oklahoma City was paying attention because they've been terrific ever since.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. it really has been incredible what he's been able to do in the game since that article came out last Tuesday. I mean, last night he goes for 27, 12, 6, and then adds 7 steals. Just for fun. And perhaps more importantly, he only had 3 turnovers. And this is, coming from a player who led the league in turnovers his rookie season and seemingly every year since has been working to just kind of eradicate, that turnover-prone quality that kind of taunted him during the weeks leading up to the NBA draft from his game. And last night, I mean, he was just remarkable, for a shooter who's usually around the 30% mark from 3 to hit 50% of his attempts last night was just critical for them. And moving forward, I mean, to knock off the Warriors in Oakland, something no other team has done this postseason, I think is really something special and should really give, Oklahoma City something of a leg up moving forward. I mean, I know you can crunch the numbers any way you want, but going up 1-0 is going up 1-0, and moving forward, I think the Thunder are really in the driver's seat so long as they, stick with the Westbrook and Durant tandem that got them there and keep plugging Steven Adams because, man, that guy really kind of came out of nowhere once the playoffs started and has certainly been a critical cog in Billy Donovan's systems both ways. And, right now the Thunder seem to be operating at a pretty high level.
And now they're in a spot where all they have to do, and I know that's still a tall order, but win the home games, and it doesn't matter what happens in the road games, and they're in the NBA Finals.
Sure, and, I keep hammering this nail in, but, we've talked all season long about how abysmal this Thunder team has been in fourth quarters this season, and you look at the box score from last night, and they outscored the Warriors 23-14, and not only is that impressive because, they won the quarter, but, to hold the Warriors to 14 points in any quarter is really kind of something of a miracle. I mean, look at the rest of the quarters last night, and their lowest quarter was 27, which they scored in the first quarter and took the lead. So, I mean, to only score 14 points in the fourth quarter, I think speaks a lot about how Oklahoma City's length was really able to kind of squeeze that Warriors offense into shots they perhaps didn't want to take. They missed a lot of open looks, admittedly, but You know, I think a lot of credit's got to be given to Billy Donovan for getting this team all on the same page, particularly on the defensive end, because, you know, Golden State's going to score 100 points every game. You kind of just have to accept that. And but to hold them to 102 and 14 in the fourth quarter, I think really says a lot about how far this team has come this season.
I read one article in the past few days and also heard one commentator say Donovan outcoached Pops in the last series. Your take on that?
I agree. I mean, I know that a lot of that came down to, you know, missing open shots, too, as, you know, that just kind of is an inherent part of basketball. It's, you know, a common refrain is it's a make-or-break league, and really that kind of seemed to be the case in fourth quarters. But, I mean, for Popovich to stick with David West down the stretch, I think really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in terms of what he was bringing to both ends of the court. And, you know, for Billy Donovan, I think to find this this crunch time tandem of Enes Kanter and Steven Adams is something that I think people would have really laughed at if you had, you know, talked to them about it, mm-hmm. you know, maybe 2 months ago, because Enes Kanter has always been, you know, kind of a minus defender, and Steven Adams was, I don't know, has always been kind of considered this latent talent because, you know, he only recently started playing basketball in general. So, you know, for him to be coming along this rapidly, I think it is really remarkable. And for Donovan to be able to seek out those lineups and those rotations that work so well for them, I really give him all the credit in the world. And I know that Popovich said something to that effect, that they ran into a better team, a better coach team. And, you know, if Popovich is deferring credit, you know, he's being honest. And so, you know, with the Thunder where they are right now, I think that really speaks to what Donovan has been able to do for this team that maybe Scott Brooks wasn't, and that's, you know, find two serviceable units. Even when they sub in their rotations, their second units, I think he's finding use for all of his players. I mean, Cameron Payne didn't play last night, but, I mean, I messaged you in game one. Granted, it was, you know, the Thunder's worst game of the series, but, you know, they really found a lot of use
yeah.
For Cameron Payne to play, someone who hasn't played much during the regular season. You know, players like Kyle Singler, Anthony Morrow, and even Deion Waiters, who's really, I think, kind of been something of an unsung hero the past three or four games for the Thunder. Last night he had 10 points and 4 assists and has been keeping his turnovers down and really, I mean, has come a long way from, you know, the just chuck-it-and-go player that he's been kind of considered by people across the league for years now. But a lot of that comes from what Billy Donovan's been able to do for this team. And certainly, I mean, the coaching played a huge role in them getting past the San Antonio Spurs.
The East Series begins tonight, Toronto at Cleveland. Will the Raptors need a here's what you do in this round of the playoffs guide when they step in tonight? Are they going to be just glad to be there, or do they have a legitimate chance to win this series?
Well, I think that they're mentally going to be in a place that is, you know, coming from a competitive perspective, I don't think that they're going to be just happy to be there, but I really just don't see a scenario in which they are competitive. I know that they took two of the three regular season games against the Cavaliers, but a lot of that came from Kyle Lowry playing, you know, out of his mind. I mean, those were three of the best games of his entire career, let alone, you know, three of the best games from last season. So really they got just kind of an unhuman effort out of him. During the regular season, obviously people remember the game winner that he hit, the step back that was just kind of a shot that defied physics. And this series, you know, he's staring down a fully rested Cleveland Cavaliers team that has had, you know, 9 days off, and it is really, I think, as good as they've ever been, at least since LeBron returned to Cleveland, on both ends of the floor, I think, and that's obviously evidenced by the fact that they haven't lost this postseason. So I really like the Cavs to advance in 4 or 5 games. I would like it to be a series. I'd like it to be competitive and for Toronto to kind of own up to the moment. But, you know, Toronto has really kind of gotten where they wanted to get. They got, you know, through the first round, got through the second round, and now they have a chance to advance to the NBA Finals. But, you know, there's a reason why LeBron is in the NBA Finals every year, and it's because he's the most dominant player on Earth. So that's a pretty tall order, and I think a lot of it will just come down to whether or not Damari Carroll can kind of keep him in check as he did at times throughout the Atlanta series last year. But obviously context is everything, and he's in a different a different rotation, one that tonight won't have Jonas Valanciunas, which I think is a big missing piece for Toronto. So I'd expect Cleveland to advance, and I guess we'll just wait and see if it's entertaining.
Over coming weeks, we'll, of course, have more NBA with Josh Blinos, but he'll shift some of his articles to baseball and did so the past week with a couple. One of those on the Seattle Mariners, titled Mariners Pitching Their Way Toward a Playoff Berth. And normally when you're talking Mariners, you're talking one pitcher, and that's King Felix, and then nobody else after that in most years recently. But that is not the case this year. I noticed in the article he's just 3-2, although he has a solid ERA. But this is quite a staff, at least to this point of the season, Josh.
Oh, I mean, it's been remarkable. I mean, this team hasn't made the playoffs in more than a decade, and now they're staring down an opportunity to get back into it. But unfortunately, since I wrote that article, the Angels swept the Mariners, and Fishek, their closer blew two saves. So, what do I know? But it certainly seems like Seattle's, moving toward the right place. Felix again last night, on Sunday, did not really get any run support, which has been a recurring theme. He's been dominant, but, when you get shut out 3-0, there's really not much you can ask of your starting pitcher other than to, match that performance, which is, kind of irrational. But really this rotation that they put together is certainly not as star-studded as maybe, the rotation that the New York Yankees are working with in their bullpen, which, by the way, is incredible. I mean, to watch the New York Yankees close out a game is really something special this year, and, we'll see if they can, maintain that moving forward. But Seattle's got, a good assortment of arms, players who aren't household names. Taiwan Walker, players like Nate Carnes. Just a lot of opportunity there for them moving forward and to help out that starting rotation, which has been kind of inconsistent this season. But this is a bullpen that I think ranked somewhere in the bottom five in relief war last year, which is wins above replacement. So this is something that, and now they're, I think, in the top five. So, that's a pretty huge spike. And should they, make the postseason, I think a lot of credit will be given to the rotation that maybe people didn't expect to be as successful this season as they have been.
And you had another article that broke yesterday on David Ortiz in the fancy stats section of the Washington Post online. And, of course, we'll have links to these articles. And this is kind of a near and dear article to me because my childhood hero, Willie Mays, he was one of those guys who hung on a little bit too long, kind of an embarrassing last year or so for Mays. And I hate to see that happen to great players. And David Ortiz, I thought there was a time a while back where, look, you need to probably hang it up. But now, anyone watching him, you're wondering, why are you quitting at 40 years old? Because he is just hammering the ball right now, Josh.
I mean, he's batting .320, and I think a lot of maybe at the root the article is a little shamelessly selfish in that I want him to stick around as a fan of the sport, as a fan of good baseball. But really, I mean, he does stand to help Boston moving forward if he chooses to return, and not just because he'll be able to reach all of these benchmarks, these Hall of Fame benchmarks that I list, and they're pertaining to hits and walks and runs batted in. And he really has nothing left to prove to anybody. But, if you're batting .320 and you're still arguably one of the best and most clutch hitters of all time, I don't know anybody who would look at his stat line this year and say, oh, that guy's got to go. That guy's really holding back this team.
Right.
That guy isn't someone that, John Farrell couldn't call on late in a postseason run, with the game on the line and not feel 100% confident in what was about to happen. And that's just because he's proven himself time and time again. And I mentioned some numbers in there that would indicate that, he hasn't slowed down in the slightest. In fact, he's hitting 47.6% of all pitches he's faced. They're deemed as a hard hit by the stat crunchers at FanGraphs, and that's the highest percentage of his entire career.
Wow.
So it's not like he's falling behind on high-velocity pitches. No longer able to hit off speed. It's that he's making solid contact. He's hitting .320 as I mentioned earlier, and it was just kind of par for the course this past weekend when he had his 20th game-winning hit which, you know, he's the, I think he's the leader of all active players in game-winning RBIs. And it's really been, you know, kind of an honor, honestly, to watch him play baseball for the better part of two decades now. And hopefully he reconsiders. If not, I mean, clearly he's got a family and he's got reasons to get out of the game and nothing left to prove. But I think Boston could use him moving forward should he, you know, reconsider and stick around for another year or two.
No, I'm right with you. I'm a baseball fan. I have my team, the Cardinals. I like the Indians in the American League. But I also like individual players who are just a joy to watch. And Ortiz has been one of those. Hopefully he's not at the end. Maybe he'll at least give us another couple of years, especially if he's contributing at this rate. Josh, a pleasure chatting with you again, and look forward to talking with you again next week.
Thanks for having me.
That is Josh Planos, Washington Post contributor.